Welcome to the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. My name is Mike, and I'm here with my son, Joseph.
Together, we are learning sports one game at a time.
I survived two punches from Jerry Cooney, one of the all-time best punchers in boxing history, at the Northeast Sports Card Expo in Stamford, Connecticut.
I know how to beat Chris Smith's all-time scoring record at UConn.
Hey, everybody. So we're here with Uncle Jim, longtime Yankee fan. And Uncle Lou came down with us as well to Stamford as we were hosting day one of the Card Expo. And so we just wanted to get Jim's take on some of the things that he experienced throughout the eight-hour day at the convention center here at the Armand Hotel. And it was a fantastic opportunity for all of us, really unique once in a lifetime. And Jim, we'd love to get your perspective. This is a little bit of a recap of yesterday's experience where we were working all day, doing raffles, interviewing stars, etc. And we're going to actually take you back to the show today for day two, where we are just going to be fans, shopping for cards, looking for our favorite players, etc. Jim, what did you think of the experience?
I thought, overall, it was probably the most fun that I've had at the card show. And I went to the National with you last year, and I went by myself this year. And the combination of just the number of vendors and all the things that we got to do today, I think kind of puts it over the top compared to those other shows. I mean, even just hanging out at the table with Uncle Lou, helping with the raffle that you guys were running to give away those cards, getting to meet Paul Jennis, the artist of those cards, the Game Within the Game Tops cards that we were giving away. He and his wife were very gracious and very great to talk to, and I got to see his artwork. Obviously, meeting the guests of the day one of the show, Marlon Starling, Magic Man. You know, we talked about at great length one of our childhood heroes, watching him on TV, winning the middleweight champion or welterweight championship for Hartford. Jerry Cooney was a blast. He was so over the top, but in a good way. And I bought a couple of boxes of cards. I bought a couple of blasters, so I was happy to rip those open. Hanging out with you guys, it was just George and his family that are in charge of running the show, that organizes the show, very gracious. I got to get pizza for Cooney. I had to go schlep some pizza and bottles of water for Cooney because I was afraid he was going to give me that kidney punch that he gave you. So, yeah, and I'm looking forward to today, too, so hopefully get Doc Gooden's autograph.
Yeah, so Doc Gooden, and for your wrestling fans, Tito Santana, arriba, is on the guest list for today. George Pep, thank you so much. We couldn't thank you enough for inviting us. You and your family were just great, your twin brothers. We can't wait to come up to see George Pep's actual card store up in Quincy. So from what I understand from Tom, as we're going to a Celtics game this year, we'll make a little side exploration and come on over and visit the actual card shop. And so this was great. They were in Portland, Maine just a few weeks ago. They're going to be in Quincy, Massachusetts just before Thanksgiving at the Marriott up in Quincy. And it was tremendous. We just had an opportunity to speak on the mic to a lot of the vendors. There's a lot of great cards out there, slabbed. There was a grading station. Paul Jennis, the cards that we give away on the podcast were certainly a thrill. All the young kids got to see all the fantastic cards and how it goes from an oil painting to Topps manufacturing a card. And that's, of course, the cards that we give away on our show monthly, in addition to our two big events for the podcast, which is Home Run Derby and Super Bowl Bingo. Really a thrill to talk multiple times to Jim Calhoun, and we're going to recap a couple of snippets on what he said. Chris Smith was gracious. Gerald Wilkins, which is Dominique's brother, had some fantastic things to say, and we came up with probably our one controversial topic of the day with Gerald. We got to meet Ayanna Patterson, who is starting to just begin her sophomore year at UConn, a couple of wrestlers as well, so it was really, really cool. We'll get Joseph's reaction in a few minutes. I'll talk to you a little bit about some of the great things I learned from the interviews, and then we'll take you to today's show, day two, at the Northeast Sports Card Expo, only on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. All right, well, I'm so blessed to have experienced this with Joseph. The average kid goes to a card show, hopes to get an autograph, might see from the distance one of his favorite stars. Joseph is running the show. He's 11 years old, sixth grade, 70 episodes on the podcast. Please explore our library. As soon as you walk in, they give him a microphone. He's to talk for the next 6 or 7 hours. Pull raffles, interview everybody from the greatest coach of all time to the greatest welterweight. And so, Joseph, what did you think when you first entered the hotel? What was your reaction when they handed you a microphone? And what were you most interested in doing?
I was most interested pulling raffles, announcing who won the raffles. It was really fun. It was a great event. When I first walked into the hotel, I saw like just a small lobby area. But then once I realized that there was a whole nother full convention center with it, it was just huge, immaculate, and it was mind-blowing. It was so great.
And Joseph, what are you looking forward to doing on day two? Now, we're on the hunt for a few cards. Why don't you tell some of our fans, what are you looking for, what am I looking for, and what are we hoping to take home with us today? Of course, we do need some stuff to rip, so remind me of that. I think we're going to go with Topps Chrome.
So I'm trying to get... I want an Aaron Judge black and white graded 10, even though I'm wearing a David Ortiz jersey right now. We also want a Nikola Jokic graded 10. That would be a nice pickup. I picked up a Joe Burrow graded 9 Prism card for $40 when it was going for $50. So, and I realized after that it goes for $119 graded 9. That's what I got. So it was a really fun event. Very big, and one of them, I liked it better than the National.
Now, Joseph, were you nervous at all? Because there's thousands of people walking around. You have your own table. We have our banner out. We're doing a drawing. We're giving away game within the game cards. We're giving away our own personalized postcard with QR codes on them. You're giving away your rookie card. You're signing autographs for kids. We got Jonathan the Husky Dogs there. Were you nervous at all, or did you just kind of just pretend like you were in the studio? And what did it feel like? You know, I'm not 11.
I wasn't really that nervous because I'm only 11, and a lot of kids make mistakes. Like, my dad made some mistakes. I made some mistakes. And you just got to roll with it. When you make a mistake, keep going and pretend like it never happened.
Just like in a game, you drop a pop fly or a grounder, you have a ball dribble off your foot. I always say flush it and go on to the next play. Don't let it affect your whole game or day. Now, Joseph, what are a couple of the interviews that stood out to you when you were taking 10 minutes with each of the guests yesterday?
Marlon Starlin was great. He had enthusiastic. He was very great. I liked seeing him, and I liked seeing my dad have a fine memory of one of his favorite wrestlers when he was or boxers when he was younger. I love George Cooney. He was great, and he very energetic. He when he first walked out of the doors, he was grabbing my shoulders like I was a boxer, massaging him. He very energetic, screamed down the hall. Everyone, it was great attention, very energetic. Another great one was Doink the Clown, funny, great wrestling career. So, yeah, those were some of my few great interviews.
Now, you also got to see the UConn legends, but with Jim Calhoun, it's almost starting to feel like, hey, there's Grandpa Jim, because you're seeing him 2-3 times a year. We got to interview him off camera, if you will, because thousands of pictures were being taken of us pulling raffle tickets, interviewing the celebrities so that way they can go on the website, Instagram, etc. Of course, we have our own Sliders and Curveballs Twitter account, Facebook page, etc. And then you also got to meet Chris Smith, which was fantastic. What were some of your thoughts on the UConn, our UConn heroes?
They were great. Chris Smith was amazing. Jim Calhoun, great guy, great UConn family.
And the thing is, Joseph interviewed Jim Calhoun. That episode is called Hall of Fame Advice. And that was when he was 8 years old. Probably the most unique Jim Calhoun interview that you'll ever see or hear. And then it's also our most listened to podcast of all time. So we want to thank you, Joseph, for experiencing this day with us. I'm going to do just a quick train of memory on some of the interview points that were brought up, and then we're going to take you to the show. Let's go have fun. It's Columbus Day weekend here in Stamford, Connecticut. Well, it's time for a little recap of my favorite interviews of the day. After the celebrities got done signing, we stole 5 minutes with them, got to ask them some questions here at the Armand Hotel. And it's really, really been a unique experience that I'll never forget. Started off with Gerald Wilkins. Now, he flew up from Atlanta, had a long NBA career. Obviously, he's probably most known for playing in the NBA, but also being the smaller brother to one of the top 30 greatest NBA players ever. You might have heard of him, Dominique Wilkins, the longtime Atlanta Hawk, one of the probably the top three greatest dunkers in NBA history. So it was fantastic. We asked him, you know, what was your first experience like when you first entered the locker room and an NBA game, your first time ever? Tell the young fans what that was like. How fantastic was it? And he said, yeah, he'll never forget it. He was a rookie on the same team as Patrick Ewing, one of the greatest 50 players of all time, the longtime Georgetown Hoya. And he said that they were rookies on the same team together, and they were playing against Dr. J, who was his idol. And Gerald said that he played pretty well against him, and it was just amazing that he got to play his idol in his first NBA game ever. Now, Joseph came up with probably the most controversial point of the interview period, but I don't disagree with him. In 1988, Chicago, Dominique Wilkins went against Michael Jordan, the GOAT, in the dunk competition. If you remember, Jordan flies from the free throw line and dunks it, gets his 10s, and beats Dominique, who had won two previous dunk competitions. I think he lost the one to Spud Webb. But through the eyes of an 11-year-old, I show this to Joseph on YouTube. And I'm not telling him where the venue is, although I'm sure he saw the bowl in the middle of the United Center. And I say, which one had the better dunk competition? And he said, the winner of this dunk competition was Dominique Wilkins, not MJ. So we mentioned this to Gerald. He agrees that his brother Neek also won. We say, we want you to text Dominique tonight and tell him that the 11-year-old from the Sliders and Curveballs podcast has certified him as the true champion of that dunk competition. Now, is that going to sell a few less sneakers for Michael? I don't know. But through the eyes of Joseph, and I don't know if you agree, go back and watch those highlights. Watch that competition on YouTube with your kids. Gain a love of sports together and ask your youngsters who was the better dunker that night. We feel that it was the Atlanta Hawk. Now, Gerald also said that he remembers playing on the driveway and in the playground against Dominique. He was smaller. He couldn't jump as high, but he tried to. Dominique was a lot bigger, a lot taller, and they had wars on the driveway. He said that he built the foundation of his game on the concrete, on the tar, not in a gymnasium. And so it was really great. And we thank you, Gerald, for coming on the show. Then Chris Smith came on by. Such a nice guy. We hope to have him. He's more local. We hope to bring him into the studio. And I've reached out to him to come on over to the studio when we record in Hartford with our professional studio and engineer. We'll do a full show together. So Chris Smith, if you follow him on Twitter, all-time leading scorer at UConn. What does that mean? Yeah, it means that he scored more points than Ray Allen, Richard Hamilton, Khalid El-Amin, Shabazz Napier, Kemba Walker, all of them. How did he do it? We said, Chris, what's the recipe for a freshman right now to break your scoring record? To take that Twitter handle that you love to have and take it from you. And he says, that's a good question, guys. You have to play for all 4 years. You have to be very consistent, no injuries, a coach that trusts you, and you have to score a ton of points. Now, can that be done? He's had the record for years. Are you going to stay for four? You got a transfer portal. You got early entry to the NBA. Can you score a lot? If you score a lot, you might go to the NBA. And then you got to have great health. And you got to be on a winning team. And Chris did it all. Well, I told him Joseph's going to be in seventh grade next year, so he can have that Twitter handle for 10 more years. And then it goes to Joseph. He got a huge laugh out of it. So then I asked him, why don't you take us back to your first day as a freshman? You walk into the gym. It's the first practice. Jim Calhoun, who recruited you, is looking at you saying, you're my guy. What was the first practice like? And he just threw his head back and said, listen, after 1 hour, I wanted to leave the gym. I wanted to quit. And as he's saying it, Jim Calhoun is walking behind him as I'm interviewing him. And he starts laughing and smirking as Chris is giving his response. Chris just said, it was the most difficult practice he's ever been in his life. He says, it's not high school anymore. A Jim Calhoun practice usually makes people puke. Sometimes there's bets on which player is going to throw up first. Running up the hill, Cemetery Hill, all the different workout rebound drills that he does. If you're not ready mentally and physically, you're never going to play for Jim Calhoun. Chris Smith was one of the greatest, and we thank him so much for the time that he gave to us. Additionally, Jim Calhoun, we spoke with him off camera. We asked him a little bit about what he thought about the Celtics. Are they better today than they were a year ago? He gave some candid opinions on Marcus Smart versus Drew Holiday, his thoughts on Porzingis, and it was really interesting. I thought one of the coolest things was they said, listen, we interviewed you when Joseph was 8 years old, and you told us that you got your first hole-in-one. You were so excited to talk about it. Have you gotten a hole-in-one since? It's been 5 years. He goes, I've hit thousands of golf balls. Never got another one. He was really excited to see Joseph. We just saw him a month ago at the open practice at St. Joseph's. He looks great. I asked him how proud he was to witness last year's championship for UConn, Dan Hurley's first. I mean, Jim Calhoun is the founding father of UConn, the best program builder ever, period. And he won the first three titles, then Ollie, his protege, and then Dan Hurley, who counts on him a lot. So he's had his handprint all over this program and built the foundation. He said he was very, very proud that we just rolled. We got really hot at the right time. We overcame adversity in January. And he says, let's go get number six. Additionally, Joseph asked him, who were some of your favorite players growing up? And he referenced Ted Williams, big Red Sox fan, right? Boston guy. And he actually said that he caught a Ted Williams foul ball one time at a game. But it did break his heart that he had asked Ted Williams to sign it for him, and he said no. But he still rooted for him the remainder of his career. And I wonder if in the back of his mind, as he started to become a celebrity and a basketball icon and make the Hall of Fame, if he didn't keep that in the back of his mind a little bit anytime somebody asked him over the years for a photo or his signature. He's very gracious. You're my idol, Jim Calhoun. We love you. The last two interviews were very special as well. We had Jerry Cooney, noted as one of the top 50 heaviest punchers ever. He was incredible. The energy was incredible. Part of it, he made the day with his energy. So over the top, big time puncher. Now, he was a lefty, but he fought as a righty. And just looking when we got back to the hotel, some of the things that he experienced. In 1973, there was a guy named Ken Norton. He became the heavyweight champion. In 73, he broke Muhammad Ali's jaw in a fight. We're talking about the greatest boxer ever, Ali. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. That day, he got stung by Norton, broke his jaw. 7 years later, at Madison Square Garden, Jerry Cooney, in 54 seconds, knocked out Ken Norton. Can you imagine you're leaving the greatest arena in the world? You spent under a minute in the ring that you probably prepared for 8 months. You're fighting a guy who broke Muhammad Ali's jaw 5 or 6 years earlier. You go in the ring, he's staring at you, and you knock him out in 54 seconds. Then he went on to fight Larry Holmes, 1982, a year later. I think it might have been a Don King promotion. And he made the most money ever as a challenger in a fight. $10 million purse for the challenger. Due to a couple of point deductions, he ended up losing the fight. But on a lot of different cards, he was ahead. And then he got knocked out in the later rounds by Holmes. But what a purse. Set him up for his life financially. And he had a strong outing against Larry Holmes. I'll tell you what. He was demonstrating some punching to us. If you bumped into this grandfather, close to 70 now, in the grocery store, and you banged him with your shopping carriage, good luck and God bless to you. This guy will knock you out. Over 6 feet tall, looked strong and healthy, guns. And so he shows me a punch, kind of like my cheek. It hits me just in the right place where my jaw moved a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, he knows the exact spot to hurt somebody. Then he goes and digs an uppercut to like the right of my belly button. It's just below the ribs, but just above the belt. I guess the quiver for the liver, if you will. And you see my belly shake on camera. And it took a minute for me to say, holy cow, if this guy had put some force behind this, I'd be on the ground in the middle of the card show. But listen, guys, I survived two Jerry Cooney punches. And then lastly, last but not least, my hero growing up when I was Joseph's age, 12 years old, the magic man, Marlon Starlin, is there with his longtime friend, Fred, who had told me he used to sweep the floor of the ring years ago when he first met Marlon. He comes out in the center of the auditorium, and I want to hype him up a little bit. So I say, you know, introducing WBA, WBC, two-time welterweight champion of the world by way of Hartford, Connecticut, Marlon, Magic Man, Starling, and everybody's cheering, and it's great. And we ask him a little bit about what it was like when he was training in Hartford, Connecticut, which is, I work in Hartford, 10 minutes from my house. And I explained to him, listen, there was no pro sports team when I was growing up. There was the Hartford Whalers for a little bit. No baseball team. No basketball team. There was no Connecticut Sun at the time. No football team. And I find out that 15 minutes from my house, there's a guy who's 25-0 in boxing who's going to fight for the championship of the world. He lives right near me. I fell in love with him. And I said, this guy represents me. This guy represents my city. So I'm explaining this to him. He's locked in on me. And I tell him, I know where you like to eat. One of my favorite grinder places. Grinder, that's a Connecticut term, right? And I say, you go to Franklin Giant Grinder on Franklin Avenue in Connecticut. Franklin Giant. Get their meatball sub. Get their chicken in the oven. And I tell him, years ago, 25 years ago, they hadn't changed the decor in many, many years since I was a kid. They had a big Hartford Whalers jersey on the wall. I remember they had a pool player. They had a couple of different celebrities that had gone to the NBA. And then right by the jukebox, there was a photo of Marlon Starlin with two belts over his shoulders. This was two decades ago. So I walk into the shop one afternoon, and I say, let me get a chicken cutlet in the oven, extra cheese. I go to the cashier. I say, I need my sub. I need to have a soda. Let me have a bag of chips. And I need that picture off the wall. I'm not leaving until I take that Marlon Starlin picture home with me. And I did. And it's been hanging in my game room ever since. So then I tell Marlon, I went back a couple weeks ago and I was talking to the owner. And I asked him if he remembered me buying it, and he said he did. And he said Marlon actually came in a couple weeks before I was there and said, wow, you took all the pictures down off the wall. Where's my photo? So the owner didn't want to embarrass him. He says, oh, you know, things were getting dirty and the frame might have broke. He didn't want to tell him that he sold it to a fan. And then that fan would later meet him and interview him, and that was me. If I could go back to my 12-year-old self, I would have never believed it. And I got choked up saying it. And you know what Marlon said to him? Hey, I'll bring you another picture. Don't worry. Put it right back up on the wall. So he couldn't have been more gracious. He signed an Everlast boxing glove for Joseph, put Magic Man right on it. We took pictures with Uncle Jim. He took pictures with Joseph flexing that punch that knocked out Mark Breland to win the championship. And we wish you nothing but great things, Marlon. We loved meeting you. So we just wanted to thank you for spending some time with us to hear some of the great interviews if you didn't get a chance to come to the card show. And now we're going to take you into the show and do some shopping. We're hope to talk to give you a little bit of a snippet of Paul Jennis, who makes our cards. We recorded that yesterday. And then we're hoping to talk to the convention organizer, George Pep. And we'll give you a little bit of an idea of what we experienced today. Nothing better than sports and nothing better than enjoying it with your son. See you shortly. Hey, sports fans. So we are live at the Northeast Sports Card Expo. More to come on that later. But I am here with my favorite person, Mr. Paul Jennis. Now, you have experienced all of these great cards that we give away on the podcast for Home Run Derby and Super Bowl Bingo, Pitch Us a Question, all of our Facebook trivia contests. We know that you guys collect them. So we want to hear from the artist. He'll tell us a little bit about what's on the easel right now, and we'll also get Joe to tell you what some of his favorite cards are. But it was a thrill to be at the show with him, see his oil paintings, and let fans experience how does an oil painting get turned into a Topps card, and then we're giving them away right here on our table. Welcome, Paul, to the show.
Hello. Hello to all my fans out there, and I appreciate those of you who collect my cards. I am recently working on... Todd Young will be coming up, and the last card will be Adley Rutschman. So I'm very excited about those. You'll see them coming out within the next month or so.
Adley, I was so impressed. Switch hitter. Hit home runs from the left side of the plate and the right side of the plate in the Home Run Derby. That guy is a phenomenal athlete. And for all we know, he could pull the Orioles right into the World Series. Joseph, couple of cards on your mind that have been your favorite over the years. We've probably given away a couple of hundred of his cards. For me, the card that got me back into collecting with my son, my favorite Paul Jennis card ever, Ronald Acuna. And he's probably going to be the National League Player of the Year. 40 home runs, 70 stolen bases. I love the card, the gold chain flipping up, the Braves hat. Also, another favorite of mine is probably the tribute to the 62 home runs. Fantastic, the fact that he put Roger right next to it. And the Derek Jeter, my gosh, it feels like I'm looking directly at him. The Derek Jeter painting is amazing. And I'm a Red Sox fan, so that's saying something. Joseph, what are your favorites?
My number one would honestly be the Masataka Yoshida. I love that card. Great detail. Number two is definitely going to be Willie Mays. Got to put that one up there. And number three has to be Shohei.
The Shohei card is incredible. And speaking of Shohei, Paul was nice enough to gift the podcast about a dozen Shohei cards. Now, he's in an Angels uniform. It's got like a fiery smoke coming up behind him. He's got his pitching pose and his hitting pose dual, the first time ever. And I'm going to have these for Super Bowl Bingo this year. Now, he's going to probably be on a different team, and we're hoping it's going to be the Red Sox. But you're going to get a chance to win Shohei only on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. Paul drove in from New Jersey with his lovely wife. And what did you think about the experience having a lot of the stars come by and a lot of the fans come and comment on your work?
Oh, it was great. Seeing all the great card collectors out here, the memorabilia, and the celebrities who showed up, how the interviews went here with both Mike and Joseph. It was good to hear some of the stories.
Yeah, the stories are so fun that they share. And you got to come out and visit a card show like this one day. You just meet a lot of different people from different parts of the country. And the stars who have retired, they have so many great stories. It's really precious to be able to experience. Well, Paul, we couldn't thank you enough. We hope that Topps and or Fanatics signs you for a lifetime deal. We want to give away your cards forever or until Joseph takes over the show completely himself. We want to wish you a safe ride back to New Jersey. Keep painting. And if you start doing some NBA players, you know that we talk a lot about the NBA. We'll start giving those away. Paul, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for all you do for the show.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure, and I'm always there for you guys. So,
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, guys, I'm going to talk to you about the expo itself in a little bit. Thank you. Alrighty, we're by the autograph area, day two, and walking with Joseph. Uncle Jim is standing in line to buy some memorabilia to get signed, and the first person that walks over to me is Mr. George Pep, followed by Doc Gooden, who shakes my hand and wishes me good morning. a fantastic, fantastic pitcher. Multiple-time World Series champion. Just a phenomenal talent. And it was a thrill to wish him good morning on this beautiful Sunday, Columbus Day weekend. So we have a trade alert to announce. Joseph, what did you just do?
I traded my Joe Burrow graded 9. I traded it for a Tom Brady graded 10 die cut, which die cuts, you have to get the edges perfectly to get a 10, and it's so hard. And I found one, Tom Brady graded 10, one of the coolest cards I've ever seen.
So Uncle Jim just met one of his favorite players, Mr. Doc Gooden. We took a picture of him getting a signature on one of his cards that he brought. And then George Pep was nice enough to introduce Doc to Joseph. Immediately he said, take that David Ortiz Red Sox jersey off. Now, Doc does not get out a real lot. If you remember years ago, we interviewed the author of Meet the Wax Packers, and he pulled out cards and he was chasing Doc's autograph for years, and the timing of it never worked correctly. He even went to go visit him at his childhood home and wasn't able to secure the meeting. Well, Doc is right here. He shakes our hands. Joseph gives him his Sliders and Curveballs podcast card, tells him that he met Daryl Strawberry a year ago, who's related to Doc, and they got a good laugh out of it. And then Doc asks him if he plays baseball. Joseph says he does. And he tells him a story that when he grew up in Tampa, he would go to the ball games with his dad. And his dad, when he was little, introduced him to Pete Rose. Back then, there was no such thing as an iPhone. They had a Polaroid camera. When you press the button, it spit out the picture. He got a picture of himself with the hit king, Pete Rose. Pete Rose tells him, if you work hard, kid, maybe you'll be in the big leagues one day. 9 years later, Doc Gooden is pitching against Pete Rose. His father shows a picture of the Polaroid to Pete and says, thanks for the great advice. What a thrill to start off day number 2.
Hey guys, we just got back from the card show. I picked up some great cards. I got a Masataka Yoshida jersey and an auto. I got his World Baseball Classic jersey. I got the Shohei Ohtani graded 10. I got a Julio Rodriguez rookie card graded 10. I got an Adley Rutschman Bowman rookie 10. I have an Aaron Judge Bowman rookie 9. I have a Mike Trout Power Producers graded 10. I got a LeBron James. High school card, and I got another LeBron James high school Irish team card. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, Dad. Thank you for everything. Have a great rest of your day, guys. Bye.
Well, fans, the weekend wrapped up with a fabulous pizza dinner. The food truck outside was doing New Haven style wood fired pizza. We got a margarita. We got meatball and hot cherry peppers with ricotta. That was absolutely delicious. And then we ended up just totally destroying a bacon caramelized onion and mashed potato pizza with cheddar. We were dead tired. We had been walking around. Last 15 minutes of the show, we just sat down in the lobby. In comes Tito Santana, says hello. Then Ray Mercer sits down and speaks with us for about 15 minutes as he's waiting for his Uber to take him to the airport to fly back to North Carolina. Couldn't have been nicer. Guy won a heavyweight gold medal in the 1980s, right around 1988. Gold medalist in the Olympics. Came out and then ended up winning WBO heavyweight champion of the world. Had a successful title defense against Tommy Morrison, if you remember him from the Rocky movies. And then he ended up fighting Evander Holyfield, and he lost in a controversial decision. But super nice. Was talking about how he was in the military, and he knew his record immediately. 37 wins, I believe it was 6 or 7 losses, 1 draw, and 26 knockouts. Really got me going to be able to want to revisit some YouTube videos of Jerry Cooney. I want to see the Holmes fight. I want to see how he knocked out Norton in 54 seconds. I want to watch Marlon Starlin going back and beating Mark Breland. And it'll be interesting. I want to show Joseph what these guys look like when they were younger in their prime and ready to take on the world. Well, we could not have had a better time. I'm still kind of digesting everything that we did. Thank you so much to George Pep. Thank you to his two brothers. It was nice to meet his sister who ran the front of the registrations and signups and raffles. Total family affair. We definitely plan on going to visit George at his personal baseball store in Quincy. And we hope to do future shows with you. To quote Jim Calhoun, he gave a great piece of advice to Joseph, which is win the day, win every day. And he says, whether you are working out, whether you are resting your body, whether you're making phone calls to old friends, getting in contact with old teammates, coaches, or loved ones, whether you're working hard at school or resting your mind for vacation, at the end of the day, you should be able to say, did I win the day? And I think we won this whole weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Joseph, I love you. And we'll see you next time on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast.